Now,
Helmets and Heels,
driven by Tire Outlet,
brought to you by Underwood Jewelers
on 1010XL.
Now your hosts,
Lauren Brooks,
Donna Murphy,
and Taylor Dahl.
That's right, we are back again. We are here all week because it is Alumni Week, and it's a special week here at 1010XL. We've been featuring guests from years ago, and it's been a whole lot of fun, and we're going to continue the trend. Tomorrow night, we are going to be live at Mr. Chubby's with both David Gerard and his wife, Mary, alongside Blythe Brumleave, and maybe a Jacksonville Jaguar will show up, a current Jaguars player. Maybe they will, maybe they won't. Mm-hmm. We shall see. But what we do know is that the Jacksonville Jaguars are going to be opening the season with a team, Donna, that I'm not sure knows its quarterback.
That is absolutely correct. Well, they know their quarterback, whether or not he's going to be allowed to play week one, right?
I mean, that's the storyline.
Yes.
Yet they have no idea if their quarterback.
Right.
And we're obviously talking about the Texans and Deshaun Watson.
Correct. We did see that Nate Burleson went on CBS this morning, and he kind of previewed the CBS schedule. Kind of teased it, I guess, before this, the reveal is going to happen at 8 o'clock. So that's allowed to be out in the ether, I guess you can say.
You love the word ether this week.
Sure.
I don't know that I've ever had you use it until this week. You don't have to apologize.
So Nate Burleson kind of teased that one. So that one is official. I know some people have put out there the NFL leaks, but Nate Burleson, I think, is okay to say that, yes, it is official week one.
So. Well, week one and week two have been officially released, but we will get the rest. And so obviously
and
we'll.
And London.
Yes. Yeah.
Which is October 17th.
Right. Are you excited, Taylor, about the Jaguars playing the Dolphins in London?
I don't know.
Does it do anything for you?
Not really, to be honest. I think that it honestly kind of sucks for Jags and Miami, because that's an easy travel for home games if Miami wants to do an away and Jags want to do an away. I know a lot of fans for both like to make an away trip, and sometimes an easier one like that works best. So I think that kind of stinks, especially maybe seeing Trevor Tua could be interesting, because Tua is one of the younger and they are giving him the kind of the reins this year full on after having to bench him a couple times last year. But I'm not super bummed that that's the one that I won't be able to see here in Jacksonville.
Yeah, and I think if you're looking at it saying I'm mad that there's another game in London, I think at this point in time, it should, like we talked about yesterday, it shouldn't be that big of a deal, because it is kind of the extra game this year. Mm-hmm. And again, it's good for the franchise. And so to me, I never necessarily dread it or really get that upset about it. I do always wonder, is it going to be a 9:30 in the morning kickoff?
Yeah.
Or is it going to be later in the day? Because obviously if it's 9:30 in the morning, that means 4:30 a.m. broadcast time for
yours. It's a long
day.
Truly.
But we know that it's not the same weekend as Florida, Georgia, because in the past that has been very difficult, which is going to the game here in town. Yeah. And then
having the 4:30.
Then having the, it's way earlier than that, because we have to be here at 4:30.
And I will say, because I think for us too, it doesn't hit as hard, because we here in Jacksonville were able to see games in person last year. If it was a team that weren't able, I might be upset if I was a fan of a team who didn't get to go to any games last year and then a game was taken away to London too. I think that would make other people upset, but I think Falcons had fans later in the season. Miami had some fans, and Jacksonville did. Who was that? Who's Jets? Jets did not. So Jets fans, but it's not their home, so it doesn't really matter in that aspect. But I think that would be the only way that anybody would really get upset, if you were a team who was like, man, we just dealt with COVID last year and didn't get to see a single game at home, and then now you take another one. But luckily, these two teams don't have to deal with that as much.
Yeah, and look, the Jaguars are favored week one against the Texans, and that does seem odd that Vegas can almost even put out odds, because they don't know who's going to be the starting quarterback, but same with the Packers, too.
Do you think it's based off of that? Those odds are off of Deshaun not playing?
I think so, yeah. I think the Texans, because it's a road game, I think the Texans would be favored, even though I don't think the Texans are very good, and I think the Jaguars would win, even if Deshaun Watson plays.
But I saw that last year.
What did that do? I still think that's why the Jaguars are favored.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's such a low, it's 1.5, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's why it's so low, because they don't know.
What is even happening in that organization?
Yeah.
Well, and I mean, we've seen in the past, you know, anytime that there's an issue like this, it takes a long time for it to get resolved, especially when there's this many claims against it. But, you know, we shall see it. They have about 4 months to figure it all out. It's really the start of the season is 4 months from today.
Yeah.
If the Jaguars open on the Sunday, which I'm sure they will.
Which, and it will be interesting anyways, because I don't know the rules for that of this is going on. So is Deshaun not even able to show up to any of the camps or anything? That,
I mean, technically I would think he's allowed to because he's not under
suspended
arrest
or anything.
Yeah,
like that.
And therefore not suspended at this point in time. But that will be interesting once camp breaks in July. I would assume that he's not going to attend anything. I mean, maybe the mandatory mini camp.
Yeah.
But I mean, he's not in jail as we speak. So that would make me think he'd be allowed to do it until things change. But certainly Roger Goodell could step in and say, until we have more clarification, I'm going to go ahead and place him on the suspended list, which I don't know that I've seen players be suspended in the off season.
Yeah, that's why I wasn't sure.
This is a different scenario. Donna, your favorite ex-Jaguar has a new team. Did you get wind of that? And I say wind on purpose. That's pun intended.
That was Taylor texted me that while I was on my way in, and I was happy because I was on the phone with hands-free driving
while I was on the phone with my mom.
And I was like, hold on. I was at a red light. Hold on. Taylor texted me. Let me see. Because I got like four bings. I'm like, she must really need me. You know, let me wait till I get a red light and let me see what's going on. Because I, you know, had to see what was going on. And I laughed and thoroughly enjoyed that the Packers are going to sign Blake Bortles to a one-year deal. And I'm like, well, Taylor must have thoroughly enjoyed seeing that one come across the wire.
It's interesting. And I was telling Lauren that I heard a few weeks ago that was one of the names I heard about potentially coming to Green Bay because they're, you know, in their realm right now, they don't trust Jordan Love. And Aaron Rodgers is a big question mark right now. So although a lot of people think he will be back, I think that Green Bay is kind of hitting the panic button a little bit. Like, what if? What if he retires? What if he sits? What if, like, whatever happens? So they think that at least Bortles, I guess, is a good enough backup.
Wouldn't you personally, if you were a Packers fan, rather have Gardner Minshew?
I would say yes, personally.
And so it does surprise me that that wasn't more of a move made, but maybe – you know, they decided that they would rather just spend the money on signing a free agent than trading for Gardner Minshew because then they'd have to give something up. I'm not quite sure.
Yeah.
Maybe they think, well, Gardner will be released at some point in time, so then we can go ahead and sign him, or other teams may feel that way. I'm not sure. But I was really surprised to see just that it happened like this. For that team that's going through all this stuff, they're going to go ahead and bring in another quarterback.
Yeah.
I don't know how Rodgers must have felt when he saw that one.
He probably laughed. He was like, yeah, have fun. Well, and I kept seeing things about the offense there is very similar to L.A., which I guess comparably you can kind of say that. I don't really know, but that's the reason they brought Bortles is what I'm hearing. But I'm sure in part it is they would have to give something up for Gardner Minshew, and maybe they don't want to do that since this is just kind of like that, okay, back burner. If there's an emergency or we have a serious problem, it's Blake Bortles. But, I mean, I just can't imagine you have 30 years of Brett Favre and Rodgers throwing the ball, and these Green Bay fans are going to be watching Blake Bortles like, what is that? Not a spiral, not.
No, and I mean, we'll see if it gets to the point where he's even going to make the team. You know, there's still a lot of things that can happen. But I get to see him every Friday. As Frank said, you know, he comes to the yards and he plays. They have a skins game for the members after the Frangie show 12-pack. It's during our show, so not after our show, but we get to go see everybody go out there and play. And he's in the game usually every week, and at nice as can be. Yeah. I didn't know he was still training. Like, I just assumed, okay, he settled into life post-football. Mm-hmm. So good for him, I guess, if he's going to earn another paycheck.
Well, last year he was the Denver emergency quarterback whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, it'll be interesting because you also have to remember, granted, Rodgers had a great year last year, but the two seasons before that, he was injured both years. He's broken his clavicle twice, so you always have that. I mean, there's a good chance Bortles could be playing for Green Bay.
That would be so much fun to watch. Every time I hear about somebody's clavicle breaking, I just think of Nick Foles, for the record.
Yes.
All right, so coming up, we have a pair of tickets to give away to the Zach Brown Band concert. We've also got Gary Smits joining us later this hour to talk a little golf. We've got a lot to do. Donna Murphy, Taylor Dahl, I'm Lauren Brooks, RJ Saunders making it all happen. And bonus, we have some fun music that we're going to get into tonight. I cannot wait for this. I'm super excited. All right, take it away, RJ.
It's like a class reunion. Alumni Week on 1010XL.
Stilettos and sabermetrics.
Helmets and heels, driven by Tire Outlet. Brought to you by Underwood Jewelers.
On 1010XL.
Oh, I get by with a little help from my friends. Gets high with a little help from his friends. Oh, I'm gonna try with a little help from my friends.
We're letting you listen to the songs a little bit longer tonight on Helmets and Heels. And yes, it is Alumni Week. It's Wednesday. I know normally we're not on. It's Rick Ballew, but Rick joins Frank this week as it is, again, Alumni Week here on 1010XL. So Helmets and Heels all week long here in the normally 6 to 8, but because Best Bet just ended 7 to 9 tonight. So tonight what we're doing is to go along and to celebrate the happy schedule day, schedule release day for the NFL. It is also the 35th anniversary this month of the Top Gun soundtrack, and which I think is a pretty good soundtrack. Maybe I'm alone in this, but that's because I love the movie Top Gun and Top Gun Maverick. I can't wait for that to come out later this year.
I can think of Highway to the Danger Zone by Kenny Loggins.
Mm-hmm. Take My Breath Away.
Take My Breath Away when he's trying to seduce her. Mm-hmm. I remember that one.
I gotta look it up because there's actually quite a few songs on there that you'll be like, oh, I forgot that's on there. And I forgot that one was on the playing with the boys when they're playing the volleyball, when they're in the beach volleyball scene.
Love the beach volleyball scene. Yes. Val Kilmer.
Everybody
loves. The one that was just on was mine.
I figured that was yours. That's a Beatles cover, right?
It is. It's from Across the Universe, which is one of my favorite movies. But the whole thing, it's all Beatles songs, but just kind of like revamped for the movie. So the movie is set in the 70s. I don't know if you've ever seen it, but it was set in the 70s around like the Vietnam, And it's about the guys all getting like kind of a story of a family. But in addition to that, it's about like the war and guys getting drafted. And so it's like a really serious movie, but they kind of take all of the Beatles songs and make a storyline with like it, not in any particular order of their songs, because it kind of goes all over and it's all of different Beatles, not a particular album. But it's a love story. It's a, you know, family story. It's a war story. It's all of it combined in one, but in kind of musical form too, because they sing it themselves. So all of the actors in the movie sing the songs. And that's one of them is Jim Sturgis, who is in like the movie 21. That's him. He's the main guy in this movie, but it's one of my all time favorite movies. And especially it came out when I was in high school, and that's, I was really, really involved in all of my choir and chorus and all of that. And so that was our favorite soundtrack. We would listen to that constantly in our chorus classes and on the bus to like competitions. That's what we'd be singing. But it's a really, really good movie too. Kind of trippy because it is this, it's based in the 70s, so there's a lot of extracurriculars.
Are you a big Beatles fan?
I like the Beatles.
Okay.
I loved the Beatles after this movie because I think it made me kind of listen more and actually like read about the songs and stuff like that. Pre this movie, I didn't know a whole lot. I knew more of the popular ones. But after the movie, now I love the Beatles.
Okay. I'm just curious because when I was probably like 13, there was probably a year of my life where that's all I listened to was
really?
The Beatles. Like literally virtually nothing else. I mean, that was kind of before you had, you know, your own digital. I mean, it was well before digital music, but it was really before I had CDs, obviously. And so that's really, but I didn't have like a way to play them at all times, you know, but either way. Point of the story, yes, I listened to a lot of Beatles for a year.
Well, to celebrate and to have fun with the scheduled release day, we thought it would be fun. You guys can, and this is all we'll talk about, obviously, the scheduled release. Once it happens, 8 o'clock, we're waiting for it. And we do know a little bit of who the Jags will face. But to have fun, go ahead and join in with us. Tell us what your favorite movie soundtrack is. And you can go ahead and text us in to the text line designed by Lifetime Enclosures. And or you can you can text us at 641-1010, 641-1010. You can also join in via Twitter. You can tweet at Taylor,
Which is TayDoll1010XL,
or Lauren.
I'm at 1010XL Lauren. I had to think about it for a second.
I forget mine every
time. I don't give mine out very often. I just tweet. At 1010XL Lauren. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. Or you can also tweet at RJ if you want. Yeah.
Or at Helmets and Heels. That's another easy one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Lots of different ways.
RJ?
Oh, R got no J.
R got no J. And I have no Twitter handle, so that it ain't no me.
It ain't no me.
It ain't no me. So you ain't reaching me. But it's fun. And because once I saw that pop up on my Google thread, I was like, oh, Top Gun. Yeah, man, I love that. And I love the movie and I can't wait for Top Gun Maverick to come out. And I sent that to you guys at, I don't know, 5 a.m. this morning when I woke up, emailed you ladies. I was like, oh, yeah, that is fun. So
what's also fun is that because of the schedule release, the Jaguars are getting a lot of airtime today. And yes. I love that.
They are. So let's look at the playoffs, because always that's a question of, you always know that there's at least six teams that will not make the playoffs that made the playoffs last year. And so last year's playoffs teams for the AFC, those were the Chiefs, the Bills, the Steelers, the Titans, the Ravens, the Browns, and the Colts. Out of the AFC, we'll pick three of each, okay? So out of the AFC alone, we'll just look at the AFC. What three teams of the AFC do you think will not return?
I will say
Steelers.
Steelers for sure. Mm-hmm. Yep. I will also say Colts, because I don't have a lot of faith in Carson Wentz. Mm-hmm. And my last one, I'll go with the Browns. I know the Browns are trying to become this perennial playoff team, but I don't have a lot of faith in Baker Mayfield. And they have a really good defense, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But seeing Baker Mayfield here live last season, it was like, wow, this guy is not very good. He was missing wide open guys left and right. So I always say, because of quarterbacks, so Ben Roethlisberger, not very good anymore. He's on the outs. And then also, I don't believe in Carson Wentz. What about you?
I will say Steelers. I do not think there's any way that they'll be able to do it. I will stick with Colts, just because Wentz, I don't fully trust Tannehill either, but I guess I have a little more confidence in him over that. And I think the AFC is a big question mark right now, honestly. But I'm going to say Ravens. I think the Browns have way too many weapons, and I don't think Baker's bad. I think that he has bad games for sure, but I don't think he's a bad quarterback. I think he has way too many weapons. They have a good defense, and they just had a really, really good draft. They have like one of the top three ranked drafts from everybody that you see. So I think that the little pieces that they were missing, they've figured out. And so I think the Browns are going to be really good this season.
Yeah.
And the Ravens.
Yeah. And only because I just don't trust Lamar. I don't. I think that he's very one-dimensional. And although you see glimpses of his arm, there's so many times that he loses games he could win because he doesn't open up with the passing game enough.
RJ is not too happy
with
what
RJ.
You just said.
Sorry.
I just can't believe you would take Baker Mayfield over Lamar Jackson.
I can't either.
I mean, I didn't say I would take him.
Lamar
is
not a phenomenal pocket passer by any means. We know that. And he's worked on improving his passing game year after year. And I really had no faith ever when he first started in the NFL after watching him here at the Gator Bowl in his final game at Louisville. But I think they have done such a good job with creating that offense to kind of play to his strengths and not his weaknesses. So certainly we'll see. That's what's going to be so fun. Mm-hmm. We should, by the way, keep track of these so that way we can look at it in the postseason next season. What about you, Donna?
So I'm not, it's hard not to agree because it's easy to pick the Chiefs and the Bills returning. That's almost a given. And then to look at who else is in their division, it's hard not to pick out the similar teams and saying that I can easily see Miami coming back into them and saying they'll return to the playoffs. And so booting somebody else out, I can see the Jags returning to the playoffs and booting somebody else out. And so I can see the Titans out, and I can see the Colts out.
I have to pick three.
I know, I know. I don't see the Titans or the Colts returning.
Well, I will give you this stat, Ms. Donna.
Yeah.
We had Brent Musburger on last week, and when you're talking about the Jags potentially making the playoffs, here was an interesting stat that he looked up for us. Since 2009, all but two of the 21 NFL teams that had a negative turnover differential and were outscored by 10-plus points per game improved their win-loss record the next year by 25%. Four of those teams made the playoffs the next year. 12 of those teams improved by 4-plus wins. So the team that fits that category most recently are last year's Jacksonville Jaguars. So,
okay. But what would that give them? 5 wins? 25% of their one win?
Well, yeah. So, they're saying like they're improved. But, I mean, you know, he's talking from the stat line. I mean, four of those teams that have fit that mold have made the playoffs the next year. So, you never know.
So, here's what I'm going. I'm taking Steelers, Titans, Colts out. That's what I'm taking.
All right. So, we all agree on the Steelers. We all agree on the Colts.
But yes. I'm taking the Titans out.
You're taking the Titans.
So, we all have that third different. That's fun.
Yes. That's what I'm taking out. So, let's go to the AFC.
NFC.
Correct. Thank you. The NFC. Packers, the Saints, the Seahawks, Washington, the Bucks, the Rams, and the Bears.
I'll let Taylor start.
Yes. Can we see the Packers? Can we see the Packers returning?
I'm going to say yes, just because at this point, Aaron Rodgers is still their starting quarterback.
Okay.
If that changes drastically, if Aaron Rodgers is not starting for the Packers,
and
I mean,
Blake
that's
is.
Yeah, like, I mean, that's a complete game changer, which I think is a lot of questions in this entire league this year, because if you look at it, Rams, San Francisco, New Orleans, Panthers, Washington, Bears, Lions, Colts, Jags, Pats, maybe Jets, Broncos, all are going to have new quarterbacks playing this season. So it's going to be a lot different. But I think I'm going to say Saints, because I don't think Jameis Winston is good, and I don't even know if he's starting or Taysom, but I don't think Taysom's good enough to bring them back into the playoffs right now. Seattle's really good. Washington, no, and I'll say the Rams, no.
Yeah, I'll definitely go with Washington. To me, that's the easiest of them. Ryan Fitzpatrick, now the starter. I don't know what they're thinking. I would like to say the Rams, but I actually
Are we
think
sure
Matthew
it's
Stafford.
Ryan Fitzpatrick? It's not Kyle Allen?
The depth chart has Fitzpatrick listed as QB1.
I don't know why
so
you would do that.
I would say that. I mean, I would honestly think Taylor Heinicke is a better chance than either of the other two. But
at this
either
point,
way,
it's so showing Fitzpatrick. I know.
Yeah, I really want to say the Rams wouldn't make it because obviously I hate the Rams. But I do think Stafford is better than Jared Goff. So the other two I will give you are going to be Taylor's Bears. Taylor, I'm sorry. And I will say... You know what? I'm gonna go with the Packers. I'll say Aaron Rodgers isn't there, but the Bears I think are a year away. I think they've got the building blocks to become a really really good team, and I know they were successful without a starting quarterback or without a good starting quarterback. I think it will be eventually Justin Fields' team. I just don't normally see a rookie able to take a team to the postseason. I think he will end up starting very early on. I don't think they're going to play Dalton for too long. So I would say then they're going to be really good with Fields eventually.
Yeah, I think for the Bears, it's just you just have to be better than Mitchell Trubisky. And he won 8 games last year, and it was not. I like tweeted earlier, and I'm like, the team was such a disaster last year. I don't know how it happened because we had – guys punching other guys, 2 different games. Our offense didn't.
We know all about that.
Our offensive line was literally like changing every week until week 12. Our quarterback was changing every other game. I mean, it was literally Jacksonville, except 7 games more somehow.
Right.
So it's just hard. And I think that's a big factor in what happens in Green Bay also, because Green Bay with Aaron Rodgers is easy winning the NFC North. But if he's not there, the NFC North's wide open. I don't think Jared Goff's good enough to help the Lions at all. I don't think Kirk Cousins is good. And a Blake Bortles, Green Bay would give the Bears the playoffs.
I don't know if Jared Goff can be coached by Dan Campbell. I don't know if that marriage is going to fit. I think Goff... where he was with the Rams, that was good.
Yeah.
And I don't know if this is going to work well for him.
Yeah.
So I don't know how that's going to work out. So I'm rooting for your Bears because I'm rooting for you.
Well,
I
you,
like
Mama.
You, Taylor. I don't know how it's going to work out. But yeah, I don't think the Seahawks are back. I think Arizona is one to look out for in the West. So I'm going to go with no for the Seahawks this year because there was too much talk between Russell Wilson's. I don't know about that one.
You don't
one.
Think you're Jimmy G?
Well, I would love for my Jimmy G. I would, but I don't think they're all in on Jimmy G.
Yeah.
So I don't think he's going to get the shot. Mm. It's going to be Mr. I never played a game with Trey Lance.
Which, so who knows?
So who knows?
Yeah.
I don't, you know. So I'm going to go with no for the Seahawks.
Mm-hmm.
I think Arizona's going to be back. I'm going to go with no for the Saints. No for the Saints. And I'm also going to say, I don't want to say your Bears, but I'm going to say.
That's fine.
I'm going to say your Bears.
That's fine.
But I'm rooting for the Bears, but I'm going to say your Bears.
The Saints will be such an interesting team to watch. I mean, we've heard for so long how much Sean Payton loves Taysom Hill, but then when we see him in games, he gets the ball a lot more, obviously, to run and not throw. So I can't wait to see him. I think he'll win that starting job. I can't wait to see him. But to me, I can't think the Saints won't make the postseason until I see it, almost, because they're a team that just, it's kind of like the Patriots. I mean, yes, when Tom Brady left, you knew it was, there was going to be this massive rebuild, especially with all the opt-outs. So I should expect that for the Saints, but I don't, just because everything else around the quarterback is so incredibly talented. And so I feel like, they gotta fall flat on their face before I'll believe it.
Yeah. Well, we're getting close.
Must be nice to be a franchise like that.
30 minutes away before the full schedule is released, so we will make sure to keep you guys updated on, and we will let you all know on everything we know. But to celebrate that, let us know what your favorite movie soundtrack of all time is. Text us on the text line designed by Lifetime Enclosures. We will keep playing our favorite songs from movie soundtracks coming in and out of breaks as well. And coming up next, though, we're going to take a little bit of turn to the world of golf and catch up with Gary Schmitter, like we like to call him, of the Times Union, next on Helmets and Heels, driven by Tyre Outlet.
Seven years and still going strong.
Helmets and Heels, driven by Tyre Outlet. Brought to you by Underwood Jewelers.
On 1010XL.
I don't think I have to tell anyone which soundtrack this is from. This is Donna's Choice, obviously, from Top Gun, the soundtrack we were just talking about. And I think it's a perfect way to introduce our next guest, who's been on Helmets and Heels several times before, the one and only Gary Schmitz from the Times Union. We're going on a highway to the danger zone with you, Gary.
Is that my walk-up music?
It is now, my friend. It is now. How are you?
I'm pretty good. I got to tell you, very, very quickly, my father was in the Navy for 33 years, and he was in charge of aircraft maintenance for P-3 squadrons at NAS Jacksonville, and he got around to seeing Top Gun, and he used to have to deal with pilots all the time, and he always used to complain about how they wanted to take planes up, and they had to be maintained, but they wanted to get their hours, and blah, blah, blah. It was always a give and take, and I said, he saw Top Gun, I said, well, what do you think? Was that very realistic? He said, no, not really. And I said, oh, really? Why? He says, oh, in real life, they're a lot more cocky. Holy cow.
That's pretty wild. I love that story, though.
Yep.
And I love Top Gun.
Yeah. And by the way, I know we're going to talk about golf, but I wanted to just a little shout out here to a young lady, a freshman at UNF named Kristen Eisenbeis. From Germany, he was a freshman at UNF. She became only the second area player at either UNF or JU to qualify for the NCAA championship as an individual. She tied for fourth today at a regional in Louisville, and that got her into the NCAA. There's only been four ASUN players to qualify as individuals, and Kristen and a young lady at JU, Jessica Welch, a few years ago qualified. So she is in the NCAA championship, and congrats to her.
That is fantastic. Awesome. And you know we love shout-outs, especially when it comes to local female athletes. And Gary, you obviously do such a great job talking golf and covering golf, so we're certainly going to get to that. But what would you say has been your biggest surprise as far as local baseball this season, college-wise?
Oh, college-wise, it's obviously UNF coming back from a pretty tough start. They played a lot of games on the road at the beginning because of COVID. They didn't get as many home games as they thought they could. The schedule was kind of worked out on the fly, and they had a rough start, but they've been playing very well lately, swinging the bats really well. They're in the they're starting with the ASUN next week, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, best 2 out of 3 series against Stetson to get to the Final Four under the new format. And then those four teams will come back to UNF May 27 to 29 to play a double elimination tournament. Two teams from the South Division, which is all the Florida schools, and two teams from the North Division. And they are really, really swinging the bats very well right now. Alex Cashler is leading the A-Sun in batting average with, I believe he's in the 380s in some manner. They got a freshman from Fernandina Beach, Aiden Sweat, who's hitting the ball very well. Abraham Sakura, who is a senior, is hitting the ball great. And Blake Maribel, I'm telling you, if you got anybody in this who can hear me, if you get a chance to get to one of the games against Stetson next week, one of the A-Sun tournament games, Blake Maribel is a center fielder. His specialty is robbing people of home runs. He is one of the best defensive center fielders I've seen on the college level in some time.
And he can also hit the home runs too, which is fun to watch.
Well, he can also hit. He can also hit the ball and everything, but you know he is as one of his pitchers told me last week after the game against Stetson, they said he's Spider-Man. He's all over the place.
Well, and it's been so impressive. I mean, I know that some of the highlights that he's had have made SportsCenter. I mean, that's when
exactly.
You know, that's when you know that it's really good.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, the one, Gary, that I saw recently, I think it was his last snatch he got, and it was kind of left center. But when I first saw the video, I thought it was left field, but that shows how far, because he plays center, so it shows how far he ran over and still snatched this home run right as it was dropping over the fence.
Exactly.
It was incredible.
Exactly. The kid that was at bat against Stetson, Eric Pogo, and he hits it to right center. And Blake was shaded over in that direction, but for some reason the kid caught one on the inside corner and sent it out there. And it probably should have been the left fielder's ball, but he broke a little bit too late. And, of course, it's the reason why Blake is so good is he always breaks very, very well on the ball, and he covered a lot of distance in a short amount of time.
He did, and it's incredible to watch. So really good local baseball, but we're about a week out, Gary, from the PGA Championship. So let's get into that a little bit. We saw Rory win one. It's been a long time, 18 months since he has. So that's exciting to watch. But obviously the last year PGA Championship was moved and there was no fans in attendance. And we heard Rory after the Wells Fargo Championship kind of mentioned how big and important it is and how much better he feels he plays with fans. Do you see any other guy benefiting now with spectators back at the PGA Championship?
Yeah, Rory's a guy, and Phil's another example, although Phil's not playing very well right now, who kind of thrives on emotion. And, you know, the emotion of his own play, but he also, if he hears feedback from the fans, he's a little bit better player. I think Bubba Watson is an example of it. Tiger certainly is an example of that. You know, he won't be in this, but going back to Kiawah Island where Rory won in 2012, a few weeks ago, especially at the Masters, Rory was really struggling with his game, and he admitted that one of the problems is he thought that he needed to try somehow to catch up with Bryson DeChambeau, Cameron Champ, some other guys as far as the distance goes. And Rory kind of forgot that what made him a really good player was his wedge game from 100 yards in, his short game, and his putting. And the majors, the four majors that Rory has won, he hasn't won because he's been longer than anybody else. He's certainly as long as anybody when he is hitting fairways. But Rory is got a really good wedge game, and he's got a magical short game, and he's a streaky putter, but when he was on, he's on. And that's why he won at Kiawah Island in 8 years ago. Well, let's see, 2012. Yeah. 9 years ago. Holy cat. It's been a long time. And, I think that's him winning gives him some confidence there. And then, they aren't going to have, it's not going to be like the Masters or the Players on a weekend out there at Kiawah Island. It's not a course that is conducive to a lot of fans gathering in one spot. It's kind of spread out, but there's still going to be more fans than they've had in recent weeks. So I think that will help him. The other thing, I think if you're trying to handicap guys who have a chance, if you look back at the guys who played well in the 2012 PGA at Kiawah, which is a Pete Dye designed golf course. And then you translate that, okay, who's played well at the Players' Championship, where Rory won the Players 2 years ago in 2019. And the guys who were in contention that week at Kiowa, Ian Poulter's had some good Players' Championships. Justin Rose has. Jamie Donaldson, who's a guy from Wales, who's a really big hitter. Jamie was in the clubhouse lead in 2015 at the Players' Championship before Ricky Fowler went crazy. Steve Stricker was up there. Tim Clark won the Players. He was up there. He's not going to be in this field. Adam Scott played well that week, and Tiger played well that week. So Patrick Harrington was another one who was in a top 20. So if usually, and you can't say this about all architects, but guys who play well at one Pete Dye course have a tendency to play well at the other one. And the guys who play well at Kiowa Island have all had their moments at the stadium course. You look at the stadium course and the Hilton Head, which is Pete designed that, and those guys have played well. So it does translate a little bit. So if anybody's, you know, trying to look at some betting favorites, I would call up the leaderboard for 2012 and take your chances.
Well, Larry, let me ask you this one. You know, we can't let that one die, even though we have a new
That's
quarterback
okay.
here.
That's okay.
But I don't
That's
recommend
okay.
calling Trevor the wrong name,
Gary. By the way, I just want to say, in my defense, I'm laying this out there, in my future defense for when training camp starts and I'm out there, I just want to know that the Jaguars drafted a Trevor, a Travis, and a Tyson, the first three picks. And I'm sorry, but it's a conspiracy. They're trying to get me to trip up here, and I'm not saying it's not going to happen, but I'm just saying, you know, be forewarned. I'm going to do the best I can. I'm going to have a notebook in front of me. I'm going to have cue cards with these guys. Okay, now, Gary, this is Travis, not Trevor, okay? So,
or you could always just omit their names.
Just call him T.
Yeah, hey, number 16.
Right.
How about that?
1-6. He likes to be called 1-6. Hey, 1-6.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
The one with long flowing hair. Sir. You, sir. All right. So Jordan Spieth, it came out that he had COVID after the Masters. One, how was that kept quiet and didn't leak out? And two, how do you think he's going to feel going into the championship next week?
Well, the only way that is public is if he tests positive after he's already entered a PGA Tour event and he has to withdraw. If you were taking a couple of weeks off from a tournament and you happen to find out that you have it, the tour is not going to make it a point to publicize that. But the tour tests everybody. If you want to take the PGA Tour charter that they have arranged, you get tested Saturday before that tournament to get on the charter. Otherwise, if you get there on a Tuesday, Monday or Tuesday, you get tested. And if you're positive, then, you know, they do issue a release about that. So Jordan didn't play at the week after the Masters. So, that becomes a private medical situation between he and his physician. So that's why we didn't know about that. I think by now we've known that if you're young and athletic, so to speak, for the most part, if you get this, the recovery is fairly quick. It's like getting over the flu, and you're boom, you're in there the next week. I mean, Dustin Johnson had it last fall, managed to come back and win a Masters, by the way. For these guys, it's just maybe a 1 or 2 week blip in the radar, and then once they test positive, they're back in there. And I see no reason why Jordan won't. See, it's happening already. Justin Jordan, right? I see a reason why he won't play well this week. He's from Dallas. He's familiar with this golf course. TPC Craig Ranch, although they used to just host a web.com event back in the day, but I think he'll be fine.
All right. Well, I like the advice as far as going with Justin Rose, perhaps, on the loser Monday. Obviously, we're not trying to pick the winner. We're just trying to pick the golfer that does not finish in last place. I would like Justin Rose then to also make the cut and not have me sweating on Friday.
Yeah. You got that, those rules are way too complicated for me. I listen to you guys on Monday, and I'm just what the, who makes these rules, Frangie?
That's right. It's really just don't come in last place.
Okay.
Yeah, that's really all there is to it. Unfortunately, right. Most of the golf events that we do, Gary, one person's golfer doesn't make the cut. That's how bad we are at picking.
Well, but hey, that's a tough sport to handicap.
It is.
You know, it really is. It's the one sport where you can't really, if a guy trends hot or he trends cold, a lot of times it doesn't matter. You know, I've seen guys that miss four or five cuts in a row and then they'll win a big tournament. So you catch the lightning in a bottle on Thursday, Friday, and who knows what happens after that.
So you're saying it's all luck. Oh, you know what? It is. But then they can't tease me if I lose, if that's the premise.
It's a very, very hard sport to scope out. I will grant you that.
You got that right. All right. What is your favorite soundtrack of all time, Gary?
Oh, movie soundtrack?
Yep.
Oh, my gosh.
Put you on the spot.
You know, you can't go wrong with Rocky.
Rocky, okay. Yep, that's a good
that
one.
That was a great soundtrack. And I always love the song that they were playing when Rocky and Adrian had their first date. You know, that's a, you know, great song. You go to some of the baseball movies, Field of Dreams, mm-hmm. and The Natural, mm-hmm. had really, really good soundtracks. And not necessarily they were top 40 songs and everything. But a guilty pleasure I have is the Pirates of the Caribbean soundtrack. I love the music on that. Really do.
That is great. Yep. All right. Well, those are all good ones.
But when you get right down to it, and I'm kind of fired up about this, you might have noticed they're having a remake of West Side Story coming out in December.
Yes.
Steven Spielberg has it, but he's staying kind of true to this. It's going to be set in the 50s. It's going to be more or less the same kind of plot and the same kind of music and everything. So I'll be very interested in that. But, you know, as soundtracks go, you kind of can't beat that one.
I'm with you, Gary, on that one.
All right, Gary. Well, we really appreciate it. Certainly we will have you on again in the near future, and we'll be paying close attention to make sure you get everyone's names right.
Okay. you know what?
Trevor.
It's almost like I won't deny everybody the pleasure of of me getting that wrong, because everybody seems to get a real big kick out of it. I just really, I don't know. I kind of hope they find a way to keep Gardner around. you know, that would be, I just think he's great for this franchise. However, I really would like to see that guy get a chance to play somewhere.
And that's the thing. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think it would be really beneficial if he could go to a program that's got a history of taking a guy who's mobile, about 6 foot tall, Arizona, San Francisco, New Orleans, maybe, and seeing what he can do there. Because I'd like to see that guy get a chance to play full time.
Well, we know he's been training hard, so we will.
Yep.
Yeah, we will stay posted or keep, you know, our eyes out on what happens with
him. Okay.
All right, Gary. All right. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
That is Gary Smits of the TimesUnionJacksonville.com. He covers both college sports locally, high school sports at sometimes too, but certainly a lot of JU and UNF. That's why we started things off with some UNF baseball and JU baseball. And then, of course, the world of golf as well. All right, when we come back, we've got big news, or at least we hope it's out in the next few minutes. The NFL schedule release, that is next. You're listening to Helmets and Heels, driven by Tyra Outlet on 1010XL.
A blast through the past. Alumni Week on 1010XL.
You're listening to Helmets and Heels,
driven by Tire Outlet.
Brought to you by Underwood Jewelers
on 1010XL.
This song by Zach Brown Band, Homegrown, is not a part of a soundtrack, at least yet. That is one of my favorites. But we are, of course, playing Zach Brown Band because they're coming in concert to Daly's Place Friday, October 8th. Join me and some of my closest friends there. It's going to be an absolute blast. You can win the tickets before you can buy them, unless you qualify for a presale like me. You can win them right now. Caller number 2-641-1010. You will win our second pair of tickets to go see Zach Brown again. It's at Daly's Place, Friday, October 8th. I am super pumped, but you already know that. So let's talk about something else we're all super pumped about. That would be the NFL schedule. So let's get right to it. Thank you for the accompaniment, RJ. Here we go. The Jaguars preseason kickoff against the Cleveland Browns, but that is to be determined. Week 2 of the preseason, August 23rd at the Saints, and week 3 also to be determined at the Cowboys. All right, let's get into the much more important stuff. We already knew week 1, September 12th, the Jaguars will begin on the road at the Houston Texans. We have no idea who the Texans' starting quarterback will be. That game's a 1 o'clock start. Week 2, September 19th, the Denver Broncos, also a 1 o'clock start. That's the home opener. Donna, can the Jaguars easily beat the Broncos?
Well, who's going to be the quarterback?
That's what I was about to say. It could be Teddy or it could be Aaron. So let's figure that out.
And by Aaron,
or Drew Locke. Maybe Teddy doesn't even beat out Drew Locke. I don't know. I don't know what will happen.
As of now, it would be a choice between Drew Locke and Teddy Bridgewater. Yeah. I would think that Drew Locke will start and Teddy Bridgewater would be
kind of come in after
the backup.
If that fails.
Right. And that is a West Coast team coming to the East Coast, coming to the hot, very hot. You know, it's still very hot in September. We remember, three years ago, yes, because that was right around, I remember there was 4 days before Summer was born, and it was right around this time when I went to the game, and everybody was complaining and about how hot it was, and it was excruciatingly hot around this time. So, yes, I think it could... We don't even know this team. It's rookie minicamp this weekend, but yes... Still, Trevor Lawrence and ETN can beat the Denver Broncos with whoever is behind center. Yes.
Yeah, I think the first two games are pretty favorable for the Jaguars as far as the Texans with that giant question mark and with the Broncos as well. Week 3, the Jaguars play host to the Arizona Cardinals, also a 1 o'clock kick. We're not really going to say not a 1 o'clock kick a lot throughout this schedule, but the Denver Broncos, then the Arizona Cardinals. So then you do have a really good quarterback in Kyler Murray. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a toss-up.
That one, I think that one. Arizona, who knows? I do think they're going to improve. You've seen them improve.
Offensively.
Kind of, yeah, there's offensively.
There's a lot of weapons there.
Defense, I feel like I don't know a ton about. But I think the big question is still, what all is this offense going to do? And that's what the big question mark, I think, for us is. A lot of these opponents, we're going to say, is this going to be a super easy transition and Trevor's going to come in here and just ball immediately? If that's the case, these first four games are going to be – he can win.
Certainly. I think so, too. Again, it's a West Coast team coming east. We do know that as far as defensively – the Cardinals added J.J. Watt in the offseason. So
they made a lot of offseason moves that improved them.
Yeah, it's an interesting whether or not he has much left in the tank.
Yeah, that's nothing that scares me.
All right, week 4 is a Thursday night game. The Jaguars are on the road at the Cincinnati Bengals, so that means the number one overall pick from 2020 in Joe Burrow faces the number one overall pick in 2021, Trevor Lawrence. Obviously, that game Thursday nighter kicks off at 8:20. Look, I am going to think, much like I think the Saints are going to be good until they're just not good anymore, and I'm sure for some people who knew the Saints as being a terrible team, that's kind of strange now. But to me, the Bengals are going to be a terrible team until they prove to me otherwise. Mm-hmm.
And Burrow's coming off injury, too, so there's a lot of still maybe, is he 100%? Is he ready? We saw him play very well in moments when he was playing, but then he got hurt, and it was a serious injury, so... We'll see how that goes.
Did you say Cincinnati's going to be good until otherwise?
No, I said they're going to be bad until they prove me otherwise.
That they are.
Okay, I was making sure I heard that.
Yeah, so I mean, all right, so assuming, let's say this first month, the Jaguars could certainly be 3-1 with games against the Texans. Yes. Wins against Texans, Broncos, Bengals, and then maybe the loss to the Cardinals. But again, that's a home game. If you expect to win your home games, then you feel a little differently about things. Yeah. All right, and then week 5, October 10th, the Tennessee Titans come to town, another 1 o'clock kick. That game is difficult always. It doesn't matter whether it's here
doesn't
or
matter.
In Nashville. That's always, because it's a rival, it's always going to be difficult. October 17th, that is the London game. It is a 9:30 a.m. start over here, so that means 4:30 a.m. pregame show for myself, Tony Smith, and his Carline. That's really all I look at when I see the London game.
Yes, but it's... I want to say it. You know, this organization's used to it, but this organization's not used to it. Urban Meyer doesn't know what to expect from this. However, he is one who will ask everybody who has ever done it, Yeah. And who will practice. I don't know how you practice this.
Well, I would assume that he will, if he has never been to England, I would assume he goes to London before the NFL schedule kicks off. I would assume that in some of the downtime he has, he wants to go over there and look around and figure things out. Again, I could be way wrong. Maybe yeah, he'll just rely on advice from other people. If it was me and if I was the control freak that I've heard that Urban
is,
I would go there. I would want to see how not just my body reacts, but also I would want to get the lay of the land.
Right.
All right, it's a bye week, so it's a good time to tell everybody that we have a winner for the Zach Brown Band tickets. Is that correct, RJ?
We do. Shout out to Gregory.
Hi, Gregory. All right, we're going to rip through some more since we got to go to break. Halloween at the Seattle Seahawks. That's a 4:05 kick. November 7th, the Bills come to town, 1 o'clock kick. That's going to be, I think, a challenging game. But I cannot wait to see Trevor v. Josh Allen. And like we said yesterday, Taylor, good Josh Allen sack the bad Josh Allen. At the Colts, November 14th, 1 o'clock kick. November 21st, that would be week 11, the San Francisco 49ers come to town. Will Jimmy G still be the starting quarterback? Will it be Trey Lance at that point in time? That should be super interesting. Week 12, the Falcons are here for a 1 o'clock kick. And then the game I have circled on the calendar, week 13, December 5th at the Rams, 4:25 kick. I cannot wait. There is revenge in my blood. Seeking.
Love it.
Well, there's in my blood, there's revenge. Yeah, seeking against the Rams. December 12th at the Titans, kicking off at 1 o'clock. December 19th, week 15, the Texans come back to Jacksonville, or come to Jacksonville, 1 o'clock kick. December 26th, that's the day after Christmas in New York. Donna, are you a little concerned about Trevor Lawrence and the cold weather?
Ooh, this is the day after Christmas, man. Yeah. You're going to the Jets, so it's going to be cold.
Then the next week at the Patriots, do you think they stay up there? I mean,
it would be probably, smart.
Yeah, probably to get acclimated to the weather.
It would be smart.
And then there's another question mark. Who's the starting quarterback for the Patriots?
Yeah, is Cam still there? Or is Mac in by that point? And then it's a Florida boy, Florida.
I mean, Urban can just room with his buddy, Bill.
Yeah.
You know.
I like that they put the Jets later, and that was one of the questions when we were talking about the schedule before of are they going to put it to the beginning where they're both kind of learning and you're still figuring out what these teams are. By this point, you're going to have a pretty good idea of who they are, at least this season, and how they're performing. So it could potentially come down to a rookie of the year contest at this game, depending how they perform for the rest of the season.
Yes, certainly. The Jaguars finish January 9th, week 18, with the Colts here at
January
home.
January 9th.
Yeah, to me, some of the really hard games, I do think the Cardinals in week 3 is tricky. Definitely at the Seahawks week 8, going up to and out to Seattle, facing the 12th man. The Bills at home, look, the Bills I think are a really talented team. I really like the way Josh Allen plays. Certainly at the Rams, depending, we don't really know with Stafford and a new team, but assuming that the Rams are still really good, as they have been, which I hate to say. And then, of course, any game against the rival Titans. I'm going to say the Patriots isn't that difficult as far as in my top tier of the hardest games.
But we'll get into that on the other side.
I like it.
I will say just really quick because it's this. Mike DiRocco tweeted and he was saying, so the combined record of the Jaguars' first four opponents are 21-42. Then the next five games against teams that all won at least 10 games in 2020 with a combined record of 57-23. So the start could make it might be a little rocky after that for a little bit.
Yeah, certainly. All right, well, there you go. That's the schedule release as far as the Jaguars are concerned. We will take on Donna's Patriots coming up next and whether or not she thinks the Jaguars going up there is going to be difficult. You're listening to Hummus and Heels, driven by Tire Outlet on 1010XL.
Stilettos and Sabermetrics.
Helmets and Heels, driven by Tire Outlet, brought to you by Underwood Jewelers
on 1010XL.
Something you call love. All right, ladies. Well, the schedule is here. We've been waiting for this for many
reasons.
Don't
you gloss over my song, Taylor.
Oh, no, you got to let this one play.
Sorry. I forgot we
don't
were doing this.
You're fine.
And this is your karaoke song, your best. Too.
But you got that right.
Do you know that she did a movie with Elvis? Yeah.
I did not know that.
And she sang this song in an Elvis movie?
I did not know that. This is Nancy Sinatra. It is from the soundtrack Now and Then. There are, to me, every single song on that playlist is fantastic, or on that soundtrack is fantastic, and I love the movie in general, too. And I watched it when I was younger, and so, like, when you're super absorbent of all the music around you, right? And so I am Jackson 5 and just a whole lot of good stuff. The Archies sing that song Sugar Sugar. Mm-hmm. Like every song on that soundtrack is so good. Stevie Wonder too. But anyway, yes, that is my soundtrack is Now and Then. And I could have nominated several others that I also really like, which no one's even mentioned.
And you
so
did.
We've all had a lot of different ones, including Gary Smith's. And so, yeah, a whole lot of fun. And now we can get back to the
schedule.
NFL.
Schedule. So it's exciting. We've been waiting for this for multiple reasons. Number one, most of us base a lot of our schedules around what happens in the NFL.
Yes.
Lauren's been waiting to plan a whole party for the schedule
old
to come out. 50th
family reunion. You got that right.
So in case you missed it, I'll just run through quickly. Week one, we start with Houston Texans. Week two, Denver Broncos. Week three, Arizona Cardinals. Week four, Cincinnati Bengals. Week five.
And that's a Thursday nighter.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that is the Thursday nighter. And then there's the one other. We have the Tennessee in week five. And then the one other primetime, if you want to consider that, it's the London game versus the Dolphins. Then we got a bye week. Week eight is Seattle Seahawks. Week nine is Buffalo Bills. Week 10, the Colts. Week 11 is San Francisco 49ers. Week 12 is the Falcons. Week 13 is the Rams. Week 14 is Tennessee.
See, 13 isn't 13 the Rams? Isn't that a Sunday night?
No, it's 4:25. Sunday afternoon. And then week 15 is Houston. Week 16 at New York Jets. Week 17 at New England Patriots. And week 18, they'll end it with hosting the Colts. I feel like we always end it with the Colts.
Right.
But there is it's not as long as a stretch as they've had previously of being away. But this year you do have Dolphins. So you have the London game bye week and then at Seattle. So they'll play here in October 10th and then won't be back until November 7th. So almost a month stretch, but it's been longer. The one season, I think it was almost 2 months where the Jags weren't here. So ladies, what are we thinking? What's the easiest, if you can name a game or two that you think is a win for Trevor, for sure?
I think week one, mm-hmm. I would say week one against Houston, and then I would want to say week 15 against Houston. I think any game against Houston, just because they seem like a debacle and they don't know if, you know, Deshaun is going to play at all. The only reason why I'm hesitant to say week 15 against Houston, because by that time they're going to have their quarterback. If it is going to be the rookie out of Stanford, Davis Mills, then maybe he's had his feet wet and he's actually the stud of, you know, the little star, hidden gem of the draft. Who knows? So that one I don't know. But I think obviously week one out of the gate, I want to say could possibly be the easiest. What say you, Lauren?
I would say definitely week two, because you want Trevor at home. That's the stadium that he's most comfortable in. Mm-hmm. And so I think for a rookie going on the road, despite the Texans' mess, I'll still say a home game. So against the Broncos, who I really think they have got a difficult quarterback situation. Now, granted, if things change and somehow the Broncos land Aaron Rodgers, I'm not going to say that that's going to be an easy game, clearly. But yeah, I'll say the Broncos too. But so the way, you know, if you're looking at it like this, you get to at least start Trevor's career with two games that we feel are winnable. That's certainly getting things off on a high note. What say you, Taylor Dahl?
I think I want to say Jets. I'm going to do that because I think that
cold.
Yeah, it's cold. I'm not really crazy worried about temperature. It's going to be freezing for sure, because it is on December 26th, the day after Christmas. But the reason I'm going with this is because the Jets are bad. Clearly, we saw they were absolutely atrocious last year, but barely. They got lucky. Frank Gore was better than the Jags, and that's the only reason that we even got Trevor Lawrence. And that's the big key factors. They were just as bad of a team last season as the Jags, and they did not get Trevor Lawrence or Travis Etienne. So I think that in just those comparables, the Jags will be able to beat the Jets. And I do want to say they'll split with the entire AFC South. I think they'll take one of each.
Yeah, that would be huge. I think that's very similar to what they did in 2017. I know they split the Titans and mm-hmm. or no, the Titans might have won both, but then I think they won. And it doesn't matter.
It was a long streak of not being able to beat Tennessee.
Yeah. And I know they started that season. This is what I'm thinking of. They mm-hmm. started that season win-loss. So yeah. Through the first six games, they had split everything. But look, I think for a one-win team, let's be realistic. Yes, mm-hmm. we have a lot of energy, optimism, hope right. in this team. But at the same time,
it's gonna be hard.
There are still players on this team that were on a team that won one game in the NFL. This yes. is a league built for parity. While mm-hmm. we got a major, massive upgrade at quarterback, that still doesn't fix everything right mm-hmm. away. And you've got a guy who's never played, never taken a snap in the NFL. And, you know, right now he's still not able to throw because of that labrum surgery. So I'm not certainly trying to paint a pessimistic picture. However, it's hard for mm-hmm. us to use the word easy
yeah.
in looking at any of no. these games because we're accustomed to a team that just had 15 straight losses.
Yeah, and bad, where it was just there was no hope. I think it was week 5 said we're not winning another game, and so that's yeah. how bad it
and
really
I was
looked.
Right.
Yes.
Yes, thank you were. Goodness. I'm just yes, going to say thank and
it's,
goodness.
It's
thank
really when good, you look at this Jet. Too, and I guess it's kind of all over the league is there's a lot of, you know, new really good quarterbacks, and then the ones that have been in the league for a little while, the majority are pretty good. But when you go through this, I mean it's Kyler Murray, it's Joe Burrow, it's Tua, which we are not totally sure yet, but you have mm-hmm. Russell Wilson, you have Josh Allen, you have Matt Ryan, but who knows? He's kind of been up and down, but when he's on, he's on. And then Matthew Stafford, like you said, we're not sure how he's going to be in LA, but it's Matthew Stafford, and he has an arm, and you've seen him win a lot of games with that arm. So you're facing a lot of good quarterbacks and a mix of young and old.
So, Donna, I said the Patriots doesn't scare me as far as being in the top tier of the hardest games for the Jaguars on this 2021 schedule. Not saying it's going to be easy, but just saying that, to me, the hardest games are those other ones that I mentioned. But you beg to differ?
Bill Belichick's record against rookie QBs is ridiculous.
He's never faced Trevor Lawrence, though, Donna.
It's
Trevor
ridiculous.
Lawrence is different.
What is it? Do you know?
Pause, please.
Pause.
While she looks that up, I get it. I certainly get it. I'm not going to sit here and ever predict that Trevor Lawrence is going to go up to New England and beat a guy who's one of the best coaches yeah. of all time. And look, that's why when people are starting to say, oh, well, maybe the Jaguars can win 9 games. I don't know that I see that on this
ready
schedule,
for his
Taylor.
Record.
Yeah, ready.
21-6.
Okay, so see, 6 rookie quarterbacks have defeated Bill Belichick. It's happened 6 times.
And that would
Trevor
be Bill
Lawrence.
Belichick and Tom Brady, unless there was a couple last year. So
the Patriots are perfect 13-0 against rookie quarterbacks at home under Belichick, though.
Well, that excitement over the 6 times that it's happened just.
But
just
I also do want to point out they
but
were probably
right. they
majority with Tom Brady,
sure
and they do
were.
Not. It will be Cam Newton or maybe Mac Jones.
Or Mac Jones. So, and look, and now you're talking about January 2nd and likely a snowstorm.
Yes.
So
it could
just
be
saying,
60 and sunny. You never
back to back.
No,
weeks.
It's not going to be 60 and sunny. It could be 6 and sunny. It could be 6 and sunny. So, look, why I don't think it's going to be difficult for, you know, to face Mac Jones. I'm just saying it could be difficult to face Belichick.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
And the weather.
And the elements.
Yeah.
It's just.
Because to be honest, too, when you look, it's back-to-back where they're at Jets and then they're at New England. So yes. You by that time, they're probably going to be like, just get us back to Florida. Like,
yeah.
Gosh,
now, and at
frigid.
This time, though, because it's later in the year and possibly the Jaguars could be looking at playoff hopes. They could. They could possibly be looking at playoffs. This game could be a 4 o'clock start.
Mm-hmm.
They might push this, which means it might even be colder. It might be 13 degrees.
Yeah.
That's what we might be looking at.
As the sun's
at,
going
you know.
Down and it's just frigid in New England. I will say when I went to the AFC championship game again in New England and Boston, it was like 54 and so nice. And that was mid-January.
See?
It was so nice. Like, I remember being, like, in my head thinking I was going to be freezing. So I layered. Ended up taking all of that off and had a hoodie and a scarf on. So maybe they'll get lucky and it will
maybe.
Be one of those rare days where that happens and they're like, and Trevor's out there with his hair flowing and looking.
Someone who does better research than me should figure out what's the coldest game temperature that Trevor's ever played in mm-hmm. at all. But also coldest he's a game he's won.
Yes.
Because I know in the playoffs, obviously, that's really the only times he's lost.
Yeah.
Right.
So I would assume that, yeah, his losses are
going to
be
cold. We don't have
many
losses to ask about.
Right.
Because he's only had two.
Yeah.
And those have been in the playoff, you know, championships.
He'll be like, well, let me see. And those, I'm trying to think, in college, those would be domes. Mm-hmm. But in high school, right. Yeah, I'm sure that had.
And he was in North Georgia, which gets nowhere like, obviously, Northeast. Florida, northeast of the United States.
Yeah.
But northern Georgia gets cold and there's definitely snow. So there's potential games, especially if he was, you know, which his team in Cartersville definitely went to some playoffs. So there was potential chilly games. But that's a good question to try to find out of what is the coldest he's ever performed in.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
What was that performance like?
And then tomorrow night when we're at Mr. Chubby's in Ponte Vedra, we can ask David Garrard the coldest game he ever played in and how that
went. He's played in New England.
For sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
We'll have to ask if he has ever worn scuba gear. Because remember, Brady has worn scuba gear under his uniform.
Wetsuit.
I can picture like
the
fins.
Not scuba gear.
Wetsuit.
Scuba gear to me is like,
you know, mask,
the actual,
goggles.
Yeah,
you know.
Like the snorkel, the mask.
That's what
maybe even the, well, scuba means actually an oxygen
like,
tank that's
hey,
on your
by
back.
By the way, though, if you do want to go to any of these home games, jaguars.com/tickets, because single game tickets are now officially on sale. 8 o'clock is when they went on sale.
All right, so there you have it.
Well,
we only have one more segment to go, Taylor.
Last segment coming up. Well, I'm sure we'll get into a little bit more of the schedule, and we'll also talk about Mr. Chubby's tomorrow because that's going to be a really fun night. So that's next on Helmets and Heels, driven by Tire Outlet.
Sugar.
7 years and still going strong.
Helmets and Heels, driven by Tire Outlet. Brought to you by Underwood Jewelers
on 1010 XL.
And you got me wanting you, honey.
This is what happens when you slip RJ a little extra cash in the break. He'll play your second song from your soundtrack. This is the Archie's Sugar Sugar from the soundtrack Now and Then. Do y'all know this song?
Yes.
I do.
Okay. I figure everyone on planet Earth knows it. Maybe RJ doesn't, but everybody else.
Absolutely know this song.
Yes.
See?
Well, good. I didn't know it from
that movie.
No.
Yeah, I didn't know it from the Archies. Actually, your song, and then I think it was Donna's. Actually, it was both of your songs. There was a bonus feature from the DVD Shrek 2. And Antonio Banderas sung Boots Are Made for Walking. And the Gingerbread Man sung Sugar, Sugar.
Sugar.
For like their American Idol songs.
Oh, yes. Okay. I know what you're talking about. Yep. I got you, RJ.
Mm-hmm. That was still from Now and Then also?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that. I always picture the one part where they're riding the bikes and they're doing the knock three times.
Feel it if you won't. I love that part.
Me too.
We can't ride our bikes all the way to Greenfield. And then the music starts and they ride their bikes all the way to Greenfield. You've seen Now and Then, right? It's such a great kids' movie, or like growing up,
coming of age
movie. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the way to describe it, because there's a mystery involved, but also you get to see them as 12-year-olds and then you get to see them all grown up. And yeah, it starts with, I could like literally recite every line. Demi Moore driving in the car, like, they say you can't go home again, and then she is going home. But anyway.
And the cast is just awesome, too.
Oh, so
good. We've been celebrating the schedule, NFL schedule release day with What's Your Favorite Movie Soundtrack. And we've been getting wonderful texts in from the text line designed by Lifetime Enclosures. And yes, you are correct, from the 874, Guardians of the Galaxy. Very fun movie. I completely agree. And yes, a fantastic soundtrack. Lots of songs on there that are excellent. And neither Taylor or Lauren have seen the movie, but Lauren looked it up and said, and agrees, yes, you would have loved that soundtrack as well.
Yes, absolutely.
Yep. Happy Feet. Great soundtrack.
Oh, I love Happy Feet.
Happy Feet, yes. Fantastic soundtrack. Plus, I mean, it has Hugh Jackman who sings throughout it. So, I mean, that's always good. Hugh Jackman, who's on my... Jeremy, our IT guy, calls it my love me wall. I was like, I've never called it a love me wall, but okay, we can start calling it a love me wall. So we've gotten wonderful additions to our soundtracks. Ones that I we didn't get to play or haven't even, we have so many. Dirty Dancing is another one.
Oh, yes.
That I love. Which growing up, I had to wait until I was of age to be able to watch that movie, to understand it.
Yeah,
obviously.
I get.
that one for me. And The Bodyguard, one of my all-time favorites.
That's
and
another good
obviously
one.
Rocky IV. You got to pick one of the Rockies because there's so many great ones. But for me, Rocky IV. Rocky IV soundtrack to me is great. So as we mentioned tomorrow, it all week long here on 1010XL, it's Alumni Week. That's why you're listening to Helmets and Heels right now. And we're going to be live from Mr. Chubby's in Ponte Vedra. David Garrard was one of our very first guests of Helmets and Heels almost 8 years ago, him and his lovely wife, Mary. So they're going to join us at Mr. Chubby's live in Ponte Vedra tomorrow from 6 to 8. David and Mary are going to join us from 6 to 7. And during that time, we are going to give away a $50 gift card to Mr. Chubby's along with some 1010XL swag. But you have to be there if you want to earn that lovely prize. So be sure to come on out and join us. And let's get back on into the wonderful what we're here to celebrate, which is the wonderful NFL schedule. So now that we know the Jag schedule, let's get into what Jaguar-related game are you ladies most excited about watching? So, Taylor.
What Jaguar?
Non-related Jaguar. Non-related Jaguar game. What non-related? This should be easy for you.
Yeah,
because
this
you
is
could
super
pick,
easy.
Yeah, you could pick a Bear game.
Yeah, this is easy. I'm going to say, just because as I'm going through their schedule, the first time, obviously, I get the Bear schedule and the Jag schedule, and I compare because I it's really good when they don't, when they're not on at the same time, because it makes it way easier for me. I can fully invest myself into both games, which I like doing.
By the way, do you download schedules onto your Outlook calendar?
I don't, but that's a good idea.
It's what I've always done. I always download Florida's and then
that is a good
Jaguars.
Idea.
Yeah, usually on the main website, on their, or I should say on the main schedule website, look for some sort of link and then you can literally download them into Outlook and it makes life so much easier
that's
versus
really
like having to write them on calendars but then not having that with you at all times. Like,
yeah.
I love that.
No, so anyway, that's a good idea. Yeah, because honestly, it's usually pretty easy. There's usually a few because, number one, Jags have a London game, so that one's usually different. The Bears usually have 4 to 5 primetime games. They do once again this year, so those are usually different. Bye weeks usually never fall at the same time. So most of the time, half or a little more than half of the schedule, I'm pretty lucky to where they're different,
right,
which is great. This season, it's the same way. There's a few that I can point out that I'm excited about. Number one, the Bears open with the Rams on Sunday Night Football. But I don't know who the starting quarterback's going to be yet for the Bears. So that's what's scary. At this point, a lot of people are saying they don't think it'll be Fields until week 4. I kind of hope they just let Fields play. Obviously, if he's ready, if he's looking like he's not ready whatsoever. But I hope he is, because to me, if they win that game, awesome. If they don't, I can at least be like, well, it's a rookie quarterback. It's Fields' first game, whatever. It's against a really good defense. So obviously that's exciting because we could potentially be seeing our franchise quarterback play for the first time. But the one that I'm really, really excited about is Bears host the Vikings in December, and it's a Monday night game, which happens to be my birthday. So I always try to plan to go to at least one Bears game, which they play in Tampa this year at the end of October. So I'll definitely be at that one. And then
Wait, when is it?
It's October 24th.
Okay.
You'll be 41.
Yeah, 41 years old.
You keep giving him higher and higher.
Well, I was
ages.
40 this last year,
right.
So now.
Oh, okay, got you. Oh, okay.
I do get older.
Like, man, you got older than me. That was fast.
But those two, I think I'm excited about. The Bears schedule is really hard, so it'll be interesting. But it's always easy for me to pick another game that I'm most excited about, non-Jaguar related. What about you, Lauren?
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm just a big fan of the revenge games, so I guess I would say, you know, Bucks week 4, I think it's at New England, right? Yeah, that's the first time Tom Brady returns to Foxborough to face Belichick and his former team. That is probably one that it's a Sunday night game. I kind of can't wait for that.
Yeah, I mean, you're like a mind reader. There's no other game on the schedule that
for you. Yeah, that's true. I shouldn't have stolen your game.
No, I mean, that's fine. I'm excited that that's it. Yeah, I mean, when tomorrow comes and everybody, you know, on the national spotlight will talk about what games are the most exciting. I mean, this will be, you know, the game, because you don't know from the New England side of things, will it be Cam? Will it be Mac? So you don't know, you know, but everybody's going to be talking about, you know, Brady against Belichick. And
yeah, that'll be fun.
And when the whole cheating scandal happened, and I remember the whole thing was, oh, we can't wait to see Belichick, you know, and Eric Mangini, you know, handshake afterwards. But now it's going to be Brady and the handshake afterwards with, you know, Belichick. So yeah, and
so
you know,
if by in some miracle, because it would take a miracle, I think, for the Patriots to beat the Bucks. But if in some miracle it happened, would Tom Brady walk and not shake his hand like he did a few people last year?
That's a great question. And he'll be like, "Oh, like, I completely forgot. I'll just walk off the field and I completely forgot.
I
know,
forgot
right?
To shake his hand."
So Bears open at the Rams Sunday night.
Mm-hmm.
That is tough.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't know what to make of the Rams, obviously.
Yeah, but. And they have the quarterback swap, which is one of the games we'll see this year. We'll see Matthew Stafford there and Goff over in L.A. Goff in Detroit. So we'll get to see them face off. So there's a lot of really cool matchups. I'm going to go through this real quick because this is the Monday Night Football schedule.
Okay.
Some of them are a little odd. It starts with week one is Ravens versus Raiders. Week two is Lions versus Packers. Week three is Eagles versus Cowboys. Week four is Raiders versus Chargers. Week five, Colts Ravens. Week six, Bills Titans.
Ravens? Like Carson Wentz gets a Monday night game?
Weird.
That's not fair.
Week seven is Saints Seahawks. Week eight, weird to me, New York Giants versus Chiefs. I feel like they're just trying to embarrass the Giants because they have week eight Monday Night Football, Giants Chiefs, and then they also have week 11 Giants Bucks. So it's like they're like, here, Giants. Week nine is Bears Steelers. Week 10 is Rams 49ers. Week 12, because I already said Giants Bucks, week 11. Week 12, Seattle and Washington. Week 13 is Patriots and Bills. Week 14 is Rams and Cardinals. Week 15 is Vikings and Bears. And then week 16 is Dolphins and Saints. Oh, and then week 17 is Browns Steelers. There's definitely some odd ones mixed up in there.
Yeah.
But if it's life, according to me, both the Browns and the Steelers are not headed to the playoffs. So therefore, that game doesn't even matter at that point in time. That Monday night game, I know Sunday night can get flexed. I don't remember if Monday night can. All right, let's now say hello to the Sports Den.
Now, the two-minute drill, brought to you by Tire Outlet. Keeping the sports world spinning with wholesale prices and premium service. Tire Outlet, Jacksonville's largest locally owned automotive repair shop.
James Coleman is here. Last night, Donna asked Denny what's coming up, and he said, don't ask me what's coming up at all this week because we never know. Something tells me, though, you are going to know what you're talking about tonight.
I have an idea.
Does it relate to the schedule?
Yes.
We will be talking, you and I figured it out.
We will be talking about the schedule. our guy, the brain, does send us a list of things that have gone on during the day, so we have an idea. But me and Denny are all over the place. So
is the brain JJ?
Definitely. JJ is very intelligent, but we don't call JJ the brain. If you listen to our show, like, you'll definitely understand why we call Cam the brain. It's like whatever random sports topic you're thinking about, and you're like, I can't think, all of a sudden, boom, before you can even finish it, something obscure, he knows exactly, and he hasn't Googled it. He knows it right off the top of his head.
That's amazing. Makes
absolutely no sense, but it's an incredible quality that he has.
Our obscure question of the night was, what is your favorite movie soundtrack of all time? Do you have one?
Wow. Oh, it's just top to bottom soundtracks.
See, we had random ones like Guardians of the Galaxy went through. We had Rocky IV. We've had.
Donna started with Top Gun.
Yes.
Okay.
Because it's the 35th anniversary.
I'm going to be honest with you. I really remember hip hop soundtracks because that was big when I was growing up. But before that, and I kind of got a chance to play it because of the spoof that I did which feels like forever ago, with fake Trevor Lawrence. I actually like the Bodyguard soundtrack. I actually found myself singing Whitney Houston songs in the car on Instagram Reels. It's very very random. People would not think I don't sound anything like her, but I do know the words though.
So Jackie Brown, I'm not a Quentin Tarantino fan at all, but Jackie Brown soundtrack is one of my favorite soundtracks.
Right.
I'm not Quentin Tarantino. I don't watch any of his movies, but somehow I came across that soundtrack and across 110th Street for some reason. Always on my Spotify list.
You didn't Space watch Jam the movie, but too. You listened.
Space Jam.
Oh, Space Jam
was
good. Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
That has to be one of my favorite.
Yes. So there was that. That was one of our just random to celebrate, NFL schedule release day. Let's play some fun music.
And we did it. And we had a blast.
Yes.
That's good. That's like what we do. See, you got to just incorporate randomness. It helps when you do show every day. Like, it's like you can't just come out here and get facts. That gets boring, especially late at night. You got to have some randomness.
And you're feeling better?
I am. I'm still mad because I'm not 100%. Okay. I know, but I do. It's weird, like, when you have, like, a really bad headache or something like that, and then you feel kind of better. It's like I almost felt high because I knew how bad I felt on Friday, and I felt, better now. But, I think it's the fact that Mother Nature's trying to kill me. Like, the fact that it's 100 degrees one day.
Yeah.
It's beach
75
weather.
75 the next.
Then it's raining, and I'm, like, caught in some hurricane out of the blue. And then tomorrow is supposed to be, like, Florida winter, which is going to be cold, so I got to go unpack some long sleeves. It's like high of 71.
Yep.
Maybe 68. Like, that's Florida winter here. That, like, is, I'm not from up north. I don't live up north anymore.
Anytime there's temperatures in the 70s, I am super happy.
I'm throwing on a sweatshirt and some joggers and living in some gray sweatpants and living my best life for one more day until I know it's going to be 100 degrees again. So.
Well, you enjoy the sports den tonight and enjoy the schedule release.
We will. Thank you.
Thank you. That's James Coleman. You guys stay tuned for the sports den. And this has been yet another edition of Helmets and Heels. And again, we'll be live on location at Mr. Chubby's in Ponte Vedra tomorrow with David Garrard and his wife, along with Blythe Brumleave, another former heel herself. So we want to make sure to thank Gary Schmitz or Larry or Harry or
Terry
or whatever his name is from the Times Union. For RJ Saunders, for Taylor Dahl, for Lauren Brooks, I am Donna Murphy. You guys have a wonderful Wednesday night.